Today on Bold Steps with Mark Jobe, we'll see how stress can cause us to be distracted from what's really important.
You see, what happens when we stress out is we start to neglect the important things at the expense of what is urgent. We do this all the time in life. We miss the point.
Welcome to Bold Steps with Mark Jobe, Senior Pastor of New Life Community Church in Chicago and President of Moody Bible Institute. I'm Wayne Shepherd. We're going to talk today about the unhealthy effects that stress can have on your life, and we'll see a powerful encounter that Jesus had with a woman who was living on the edge of chaos and had her focus on the wrong things, Mark.
Yeah, you know, Wayne, stress is like a dashboard on your car. You see that little light that starts to come on when your oil needs to be changed, and it's a reminder, hey, something needs to change, mm-hmm. and you cannot neglect the dashboard too long or your car will break down.
Yeah, don't you hate to drive with that thing on?
I know, and stress is that way. Stress is that blinking light that's saying something needs to change. There's something that's not right here. And so I think that stress can actually be a good thing when we pay attention to it and decide we cannot just let it continue on. We need to do something about it.
Heed the warning, right? Our message today is called Real Peace. It's a lesson from the book of Luke, chapter 10. So let's jump in. Here's Mark again.
I used to play the guitar. I still have a guitar. And once in a while, as I was tuning a guitar, if I wasn't careful to slowly stretch the string out, if I tuned it too tight or if I was playing too hard, my string would snap because the tension was too tight, and so it would snap. We've all had the experience of preparing for a party where you're blowing a balloon up, right? And you're blowing a balloon and you want to see how big you can make this balloon, and suddenly you're shocked because, boom, it busts in front of you. Why? In essence, what's happened is you stretched the plastic, you stretched it so much that it cannot contain it anymore, and it reaches a point where it just snaps. Some of you are in the pre-snapping stage. There's signals and signs in your life that unless you adjust your mentality and unless you adjust your attitude, that you too could snap unless you do something about it. I believe this woman, Martha, in this story, was in the pre-snapping stage. She was about to snap, and we want to see what Jesus told her in this story. So, what does unhealthy stress do to us? I want you to follow along as I read verse 38 through 31 of Luke chapter 10. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. Now you may recognize the name Martha because she's no stranger to the New Testament. Martha had a sister whose name was Mary. And Mary and Martha had a brother whose name was Lazarus. The infamous Lazarus. Do you remember the story when Lazarus died? And this was the Lazarus that Jesus supernaturally resurrected from the dead. So Mary, Martha, and Lazarus lived in this town. They invited Jesus to stay in their house while he was passing through with his disciples. Now, it's a pretty big deal if Jesus is in the house, right? I mean, this is not like a small thing when Jesus comes to the house. So you can imagine the scurrying and the preparation because Jesus is going to stay at our home. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet. When Jesus went there, his disciples were there. It says that Mary sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha, type A, high energetic, control personality, I added that by the way, was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to Jesus and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her to help me. Jesus looks at her and he says, Martha, Martha. How many of you know when someone repeats your name, You know, like some advice is going like, it goes like this. Martha, Martha. You know that there's going to be a word of advice with that big sigh of repeating the name. And Jesus says, Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you are worried and upset about many things. That's called stress, worried and upset. But only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. Now, these are only three verses here, but there's some powerful principles that we can glean from these verses. And I want you to track with me as I talk to you about, first of all, looking at what does unhealthy stress do to us. If we look at this story, we realize that Martha was under some unhealthy stress. And even in this little account, we see that it had some ill effects on her life. If you're taking notes this morning, write it down. Four effects of unhealthy stress in our life. Number one, it causes us to worry and get upset about a growing number of things. I want you to notice the words of Jesus to Martha. He says, you are worried and upset about many things. You see, here's the thing about stress. We cannot compartmentalize stress. If you're stressed out in one area of your life, what happens is it spills over to other areas of your life as well. You can't contain stress to just one area of your life. For example, if some of you men, you're in a job situation that is very, very pressurized. And perhaps you're not getting along with your boss, or there's demand that you produce, or there's stress, or a conflictive environment, and you just going to work stresses you out. And by the time you are done putting in your 8 hours of work, I mean, you are, your back muscles are tense, you have a simmering headache, I mean, you're just on edge. So you walk out of your work and you're just stressed out. You go to the parking lot, get in your car, and you get into traffic. And you know what? You are a tiger of a driver because of the stress. I mean, you get into traffic. How many of you know when you're stressed, you drive more aggressively? Have you felt it? You start getting into an argument, so the stress level. The higher the stress level, the faster the pedal. You know, the more you press on that pedal, the more you cut, the more you're like, what's going on? You get on the expressway, someone's driving slow in front of you. Hey, what's up with you? Hey, there's a slow lane, don't you know? You cut over, someone cuts in front of you. You're on the horn, going like this, making motions. And I said this before, if you have a Jesus bumper sticker, please take it off if that's how you respond under stress. And if you have a New Life sign, please take it down if that's how you're driving. We don't want people cursing at you and say, yeah, one of those Jesus people or one of those New Life people. Okay, that's why I don't have Jesus bumper stickers on my car, because I'm still working on God sanctifying my driving. I'm not there yet. I'm not there yet. So you drive in traffic, people seem slower and they cut you off more, and just, you see, your stress from your job has spilled over to your driving, your commute home. And the way you drive and the way you see people and how you talk and what's going on. So finally you get home, you walk in the door, you open up the door, and your wife says to you, hi, honey, how was your day? My day? The dog comes up panting, licking, and you push him away with your foot. And you say, how come the shoes are laying around here? Where's the kids? And have they started their homework? And your wife whispers to the kids, he's in one of his moods. And so they scatter to the room because you're home and you're under stress. And guess what? Everybody knows it. Now, it's not the stress at home that started it. The problem is that your stress at your job has spilled over to your driving, that spilled over to your family, that spilled over to your marriage, that spilled over to your kids, that spilled over to your pets, that spills over to everything in life, because it starts in one place and you cannot compartmentalize stress in your life. It spills over and then it becomes an issue in every area of your life. Jesus says to Martha, 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 you are worried and upset about many things. You see, Jesus knew it wasn't just about this event. It wasn't about the fact that she was having a party at her house involving Jesus. He knew that there were deeper issues at stake here. That there were more core fundamental issues that she needed to deal with in her life. And he knew that it would spill over to many areas of her life because that's what unhealthy stress does. Number two, unhealthy stress also causes us to neglect the important at the expense of the urgent. Notice what it says in verse 40. Mary is sitting, listening to Jesus. I mean, after all, how often do you have Jesus in the house? And you would think that on this momentous occasion, if Jesus is in the house, that you would want to say, hey, Jesus is here. Let me hear what he has to say. But of course, Mary is out there trying to cater, create a good household, serving guest stuff, running around doing things. And what happens is, in the middle of all this stress, she neglects the fact that Jesus, the Son of God, the Messiah, the one we have been celebrating for 2,000 years, the one that was before the foundation of the world, that the Gospel of John says, He was the Word of God, and the Word of God was with him, and he was the Word of God. All things were made by him. He was the pre-existent God that has always been there. He was the creator of the universe, incarnate in the form of a little baby, grown up to be a man. This God-man was in her house, and all she could think about were the cookies. You see, what happens when we stress out is we start to neglect the important things at the expense of what is urgent. If she could just pull away a few years later and say, hey, Jesus was in the house, what did you hear him say? She would say, I was too busy, I didn't hear him say anything. She would have realized, I missed the point. Listen, we do this all the time in life. We miss the point.
Listening to Bold Steps with Mark Jobe. On our website, you'll discover resources and tools designed to help you grow in your walk with the Lord, like our Bold Stepper Weekly. Get a dose of Monday morning inspiration from Mark and the Bold Steps team. It's free, delivered to your inbox automatically when you sign up. Learn more at boldstepsradio.org. And Mark, I have to say this. This is Friday. This coming Monday, there's a Bold Stepper Weekly you don't want to miss.
That's right. You know, in the Bold Stepper, we try to also just keep you up to date on some things that the Jobe family is celebrating, some big events. And we've had a couple big events
happen.
Don't
say anymore.
I'm not going to tell you.
All right, don't give it away.
It will be in the Monday Bold Stepper.
So if you sign up today at boldstepsradio.org, there's a pretty good chance you'll have it in your Monday morning inbox and read something special from the Jobe family. Sign up at boldstepsradio.org. Well, let's jump back into today's message, Real Peace.
Someone yesterday that I'm marrying in a couple of weeks, I asked him, I said, so how you doing preparing for the wedding? He said, stressed out. And I like to tell couples this that are getting married because I think it's important to keep in perspective. Listen, your wedding is not a show. It's a celebration. The difference between a show and a celebration is a celebration is a bunch of people that get together to celebrate the union of two people. A show is a carefully orchestrated event that's done for the audience and not for those people. This is a celebration. So the bride may be stressing out about the fact that the roses are light pink and not dark pink. But no one in the audience really cares what color the roses are. And when all is said and done, they're not going to remember the roses, or they're not going to remember the fact that the little flower girl tripped a little bit going down. What they're going to remember is the significance of the wedding, is what they felt during that ceremony, and whether this was a meaningful event or not. Are you tracking with me? Some brides stress so much over the wedding that they forget that this is all about a union and not about a show, right? And this very important moment in their life they waste worrying about the details. Listen, some of you men work really hard to provide your kids with things that you never had. And you want the right house and the right car and the right environment, the right toys and the right clothes, and you want them to be in the right place, and you're stressing about wanting to make sure that they had all the advantages and privileges that you never had, that you want to be able to afford to give them. And so you're stressing about creating this great environment for their life, and you've missed the point that what they really need is a dad. They need a dad that they spend some time with, a dad that talks with them, a dad that they can connect with. What they really need is a relationship with dad. And we're so stressed in trying to create a life that we forgot that the important thing is what we can give him. The urgent has robbed us of the important. And that's exactly what was happening in Martha's life, and stress will do that. Stress will cause you to neglect the things that are really important at the expense of the things that are really urgent. Number three, I'm talking about the causes of stress, what unhealthy stress does to our life. Number three, unhealthy stress causes us to feel disconnected and fall into the self-pity mentality. At the end of the second part of verse 40, it says, "But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made." She came to Jesus. This is what stress will do to you. She came to Jesus, who's at her house, who a short time later is going to be crucified on a cross, suffer, bleed for her and others like her and all of us who really cares and really loves. In fact, when Lazarus, her brother, died, the Bible says that Martha and Mary called unto Jesus, and Jesus went, and although he knew he was going to resurrect Lazarus, when he saw Martha and Mary so sad, the Bible says he wept with them. Now, the thing about Jesus is he knew he was going to resurrect Lazarus, so why would he cry? He wept because he saw their pain, and he loved them, and he felt compassion for them, and so he wept with them. When you see people you love in pain, it makes you sad, right? That's exactly the compassion of Jesus. I love that about Jesus. So he deeply cared for them. But in the middle of her stress, what stress causes you to do, it causes you to disconnect from people that are around you. You can't feel the love of people, the support of people, because you're so bound in your stress. And so she goes to Jesus and she says, "Jesus, don't you care?" She's doubting the love of God because she's stressed out. Now, how did she go to Jesus? Well, the Bible tells us that Jesus was talking, Mary and other disciples were listening. So I picture it like this. I picture Mary with a tray and a cup and a glass, and she's hurrying about, and she's in the kitchen, she's helping out, she wants everything perfect, and she's sweating a little bit, and she's flushed a little bit in the face, and she's running, and she sees Mary sitting there. And so she says, "Jesus, psh, Jesus, Jesus." You know how you are when you're stressed. "Jesus." So Jesus goes over. "Yeah, Martha, Martha." She says, "Don't you care? You don't care. Look at, I'm doing all this work. And look at Mary. Look, she's sitting there right there. Could you tell her to help me?" This is, she's stressed out. Stressed out. That's how we get, right? I mean, some of you ladies know. It's your turn to have Thanksgiving. It's your turn to have the graduation party. It's your turn to host Easter. And all the family's coming over. And what happens? Man, you turn into, boy, yeah, you turn into a cleaning machine. Everybody braces themselves. People are coming over. Mom's getting ready. Like, clean this and do this. And the rooms are a mess. And the yard needs to be cleaned up. And how come the toys are here? And someone needs a vacuum. And someone to clean the windows. And this kitchen needs to be done. And everybody's, "Yes, Mom. Yes, Mom. Okay, Mom." And the teenagers are throwing everything in their closet. When my daughter was 12, thank God she's kind of grown over this phase, but my wife was really struggling with having her clean, you know, have a good clean room. And at one point she said, my wife said to her, Marissa, how can you live with your room like this? And she said, she looked straight at my wife and she said, as long as I have a path. As long as you have a path? Whoa, from the door to her bed, as long as she has a path, you know, it's like, please. So I know some of you parents of teenagers can relate, you know how that goes. So you're stuffing things in and getting ready for a party. By the time the whole party's about Thanksgiving and family, and you're like a little monster getting ready for that. And when the people finally arrive, you're so stressed out, you can barely greet the people because you're so busy. And the whole time they're there, you're stressed out about the house and so stressed out. And when they all leave, this whole party that was planned for connection and family, you've almost done nothing with family and had no connection, and you're all stressed out. You've missed the point of the whole party. So what's the moral of the point? I don't know, cater. Whatever you do, make sure that the point of the party is made, that you can connect with people, because really, that is what's important. And so Martha felt disconnected, and then she fell into the self-pity trap. Notice what she says. She said, Lord, don't you care? So first of all, God, I don't even think you care. Don't you see that I'm stressed out? You don't care. And look, my sister is not doing her part of the job. So tell her to do something. The self-pity party is like, no one cares. I'm the only one. I'm the only one that does work around here. Everybody else, everybody's lazy. I'm the only hard worker. Everybody else doesn't carry their part of the job. You know what? Self-pity is one of your worst enemies. Because self-pity will blind you to the needs of the people that are around you. Because all you're thinking about is poor little me. You ever gotten in a little self-pity mode? Curl up on a couch, oh, poor me. People don't call me, think about me. You curl up on a couch in a semi-fetal position. You get a half a gallon of chocolate ice cream and you sit there watching reruns of I Love Lucy and eating your ice cream, talking about poor little you and how the world is so bad and people don't do their part. And you're kind of licking your wounds and wishing other people would really be as responsible as you are and how bad life has treated you. And other people, once you die, you just think they're going to say nice things about you at your funeral. That's what you're thinking. It's a bad place to go. Self-pity never helps anybody out. And it puts you in the position of a victim. Absolutely. It puts you in the position of a victim. It doesn't help anybody out. So, And here's what happens with self-pity. Hear me well. Self-pity will eventually give way to anger. See, it starts with self-pity, but eventually the self-pity will give way to anger and resentment, because self-pity says, woe is me. And then after a while it says, who's causing me this pain? Someone is. You're the person. And it's going to give way to anger, and pretty soon self-pity will start lashing out at people around you. So if you're in a self-pity mode, get ready, because anger's the next thing to follow. Martha is in this self-pity mode, and by the way, self-pity even questions the love of God. Jesus, don't you care? If you're in a self-pity mode, God, don't you care? Don't you see what I'm going through, God?
Mark Jobe titled today's message, Real Peace, and there's so much more he has to say coming up next week, so be sure to keep listening. And if you're just joining us, and if you'd like to catch up on any of the messages you may have missed in this series, you'll find them all online at boldstepsradio.org.
Anxiety is the body's way of responding to worry and fears. And according to the National Institute of Mental Health, in any given year, 20% of all U.S. adults suffer from some form of anxiety or anxiety-related disorder. But 2020 has been like no other year. And now because of the coronavirus and the levels of social, political unrest rising over the airwaves and in our city streets, those numbers have significantly increased this year. But is anxiety always a bad thing? That's the question explored in our latest Bold Step Gift, a book written by licensed marriage and family therapist Rhett Smith. Challenge your view of anxiety and allow God to take something that's destructive and shameful and turn it into something that He can use for His glory and purpose. The book is called The Anxious Christian: Can God Use Anxiety for Good? And it's yours when you give a gift of any amount today to support the ministry of Bold Steps. Visit us online at boldstepsradio.org or donate when you call 844-615-7363.
That's 844-615-7363. Or you can send your donation and request for the book in the mail when you write to us at Bold Steps, 820 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60610. Request the book, The Anxious Christian. I'm Wayne Shepherd. Have a wonderful weekend and be sure to join us again Monday. Mark will be continuing this message on real peace. And we'll be learning more about what Jesus said we need to do in order to bring our hectic lives back into balance. It's part of our Stressed, Calming Down Without Cracking Up series, and you can hear it here, Monday, on Bold Steps with Mark Jobe. Bold Steps is a production of Moody Radio, a ministry of Moody Bible Institute.